This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the mini-sode.
And my name is Morgan.
Wow, and I'm Sarah.
Look, introducing ourselves. And this week is going to be like a current events mini-sode.
Yeah, so we'll let you know all of our cases. Well, what I got, I don't know about you, came from April.
Yes, yep, okay. This is our April current events.
Let's just get into it.
Okay.
All right, so my first case comes from the New York Daily News, and it was an article written by Jessica Schladbeck.
Okay.
Came out April 8th, and the title is Human Trafficking and Rape Case Against Texas Megachurch Leader Dismissed.
Which is not a great thing to read.
Yes. And I also did get some info from Wikipedia for background shit.
Right.
And also, I will not pronounce anything correctly because it is Spanish.
At this point, it's almost our shtick.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're purposely trying to do it and be assholes. We're just genuinely that bad at pronouncing things.
Exactly.
It's painful. We know.
So, Nason Joaquin Garcia is the third leader of the La Luz del Mundo Church. He took over for his father in December of 2014. The 50-year-old was taken into custody on June 3rd of last year, 2019, by special agents of the California Bureau of Investigations after his flight from Mexico landed in Los Angeles. And this happened after three girls and a woman in Los Angeles County told California's Department of Justice that they were abused by Garcia between 2015 and 2018. Garcia also used his power as church head to coerce girls into sex acts. In that same month, Garcia was arraigned on more than 26 counts and waived his right to a speedy trial.
That's so many counts.
Yes. So his felony charges included human trafficking, production of child pornography, and forcible rape of a minor.
And I'm sorry, I'm sure you're about to tell us, but did he go to jail for any of this?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
So he was arrested. His sentencing was dismissed.
Yeah, okay.
So before being just straight up denied bail, because he ended up being denied bail altogether.
Good.
His bail was set at $50 million, which is just a lot.
That is a lot.
And it was because the court feared that his loyal followers would be able to raise enough money to get him out, and then he would flee the country and go back to Mexico.
Right.
So that bail was actually the highest ever imposed on anyone in Los Angeles County. In July, he was arraigned on a amended complaint, which included three charges of possession of child pornography. So that's three more felonies.
Right.
This time, he didn't waive his the right for the time limit for his second preliminary hearing.
Okay.
But the proceedings were postponed several times while he was in jail. So, not a right to a speedy trial.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I'm struggling to follow this case.
Sorry.
But it's not your fault. It's just because you're the first human being I've talked to all day. I'm just looking at you and I'm like, she's saying words.
So he was arrested for all of these things.
Yeah.
She claimed that Garcia and his father sexually abused her for 18 years, starting when she was 12. And they would use Bible passages to manipulate her into thinking their abuse was actually a gift from God.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. So, cut to this year.
Yeah.
On April 7th, 2020, a California appeals court panel ordered the Los Angeles County Superior Court to dismiss the 29 felony charges against Garcia because his preliminary hearing was not held in a timely manner. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should be saying stuff, but I just have no words.
Yeah. Garcia's attorney, Alan Jackson, which I think is just really funny because that's the name of a country music star, said that he and Garcia are thrilled about the decision and, quote, in their zeal to secure a conviction at any cost, the attorney general has sought to strip Mr. Garcia of his freedom without due process by locking him up without bail on the basis of unsubstantiated accusations by unnamed accusers and by denying him his day in court. And it is not clear when he'll actually be released in prison. The appeal also didn't mention the two other people that were arrested with him that are still in jail.
Okay.
So there were multiple people.
Yeah.
But he was like the leader.
Right.
But the state attorney general's office did issue a statement saying, to be clear, the case is still pending. The decision is not final for 30 days from when it was issued, and the defendant is currently still in custody. But yeah, he's being released on 29 felony counts of rape and human trafficking and child pornography because he sat in jail for almost a year or half a year and didn't have any sort of hearings. And that is the only reason why.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like there was a misstep there somewhere, like that we maybe shouldn't, if that's a possibility, because like they say you have a right to the speedy trial all the time, and it takes like sometimes years before a case starts, but I guess it's like the specific hearings that they didn't hold.
And I think like what part
I know nothing
it is,
about the justice system. I'm trying to like act as if I do. I'm such an asshole.
I don't either. But part of it is like the first thing, he waived his right to a speedy trial. But for the second hearing, he didn't.
Right.
And so I feel like they like kind of tripped up the court and was like, oh, well, he waived his right. We're just going to keep putting it off until we get more and more evidence and not realize.
But I feel like even the second one shouldn't negate the charges for the first one if you did properly go through the channels to, like, say, I don't and I do for these separate trials. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't just lose all of your charges because one of them, like, I don't know. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a real,
like,
weird...
clearly that man deserves to be in jail because he's a danger to women and society.
Yeah, and, like, just for some shitty loophole, he's being released and will most likely flee the country and then flee all of his problems because they're like, no, we're still going to charge him later on, but it's like he's going to leave the country.
Yeah, especially, it just so silly.
Yeah.
Very frustrating stuff.
It is, which is why it was my first one.
Yeah. We like to get the more frustrating ones out of the way.
All right. You got one for me?
I do. And mine is less thrilling. I will say that.
Okay.
But while I was researching, I found just a little fun fact. So I'm going to give it to everyone because this is like our kind of monthly current events thing. Next week, from April 19th through the 25th, is this year's National Crime Victims' Rights Week.
Oh.
And it is a week-long initiative that promotes victims' rights and honors crime victims and those who advocate on their behalf. And it's held by the Department of Justice's Office for Victims of Crime. So it's something that they do every year to, like, raise more awareness and stuff like that. So I just thought that was kind of cool.
And what are the dates of it?
It is, sorry, I went to a different screen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It's April 19th through the 25th.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that's really nice.
You can go on the Office of Justice, like, website, and they have, like, a resource guide to help victims and things like that. So they just have, like, a bunch of resources. So check it out.
Cool. Yeah, and we could definitely post the link in the description,
too. You're going to hate me. I have other links, too.
That's fine.
For my first story, because... when I started researching the first story, I just got super nerdy and, like, into the statistics of everything. So, sorry in advance, guys.
That's fine.
But this article did come from Time Online, and it was published on April 11th of 2020, and the article was written by Edith Lederer, probably not how you pronounce it, and the title is... crime rates plummet around the world as the coronavirus keeps people inside.
Okay.
Which, I mean, like,
makes sense.
Story checks out. It makes sense.
Yeah, I saw something that said that, like, even the most dangerous city, like, violent cities in the world are, like, their crime rates are going down.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about. No, you're good. I actually had to stop myself from writing about all of the different cities. So there are cities that I will not be discussing that have lower crime rates as well. But I didn't want to bore everyone too much. But basically... Wow, I wrote this intro sentence and I just have to read it, so I'm sorry.
Do it.
So, obviously, at this time, everyone has to stay at home to help flatten the curve, and it appears that it is also helping to flatten crime.
Are you a news anchor?
I am.
I don't own a podcast. I own a news station.
Yeah, for sure. So, Chicago, which is considered to be one of America's most violent cities, says that their drug arrests have plummeted by 42% in the week since the city shut down compared to numbers from last year.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot, yeah. Also, we'll talk about it a little later, but they're kind of just like, we don't care about drugs right now.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a valid point, honestly. Okay, so... Joseph Lopez, who is a Chicago lawyer who, like, represents local drug dealers, basically, says that he's being told by his people that they aren't able to move to even, like, sell anything anywhere, which is why they're not out in the streets.
Hmm.
And this trend is not just occurring in the U.S., it's occurring globally. Multiple cities around the world have begun to report stunning crime drops. And some regions that have, like, the highest level of violence, just aside from a war zone, like, they're a step down from a war zone, they are having fewer people being killed and fewer robberies taking place. So, like, LA and places like that are also experiencing all of this less crime, like larceny and things like that. But what I thought was fucking insane. Sorry, I'm shaking my finger at you. It's just okay. So crazy. In Latin America, crime is down in numbers that haven't been seen in decades. Last month, El Salvador reported, on average, 2 murders a day, which still sounds like a lot to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
At peak, they were at 600 murders a day.
Wow.
Like, that's so many murders a day. So they're having, like, a huge, 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 huge decrease. And much of this decrease is due to tougher policies, but there have also apparently been some gang truces in their area during this time.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, really cool of gangs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they're just kind of like, yo, chill. Like, and we're having some trouble right now.
I know that they're doing, like, a lot stricter rules and stuff that America is doing. Because, like, this girl that we went to school with,
mm-hmm.
she has family in Panama, I think it is. And they have, like, only certain days you're allowed to go out to get your essentials.
Right.
And, like, they have curfews in certain hours. But they also have, like, only men are allowed out on certain days and only women are allowed out on certain days. Just to, like, half the population of people that are going out.
Can physically go out. Yeah.
Exactly. And that makes sense. There are... finding people and arresting people that are going out for bullshit reasons or during the curfew or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're definitely stricter, but, like, I think it's working because there is significantly less cases in South America than in the United States.
Yeah. A mortician from Lima, who is Raul Gonzalez, says that on a typical day, he personally usually sees about 15 bodies. Many of them who are homicide victims, like, usually half or more.
Yes.
And this week he says that he was able to take a nap for 6 hours between his clients.
That's honestly amazing.
And, like, I know it's not funny because a person still died. It was just the way, because he said that in an article. He was like, I was able to get a nap in between my clients. And I thought that was sweet.
It was. It's very cute.
Yeah. And he also said that there are rarely car accidents because there are fewer vehicles on the road. Which, like, all of this, yes, obviously makes sense, but I love seeing it actually happen, yeah, and, like seeing it written out. Yeah.
And you kind of don't realize it until you read it or hear it or whatever.
Yeah, like, until it's a hard number I can put in front of my face, I, like, it doesn't check out with yeah. me, you know? I don't know. I'm a weirdo. But, so, during this time, a lot of police are actually reportedly getting sick because they're, like, overworking and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And NYPD, who has the largest department in their area, with 36,000 officers, currently has 7,000 officers out of office, just like they're on sick days or on vacation, and more than 2,000 of those have been diagnosed with COVID.
Wow.
So due to this, they are not arresting people as frequently, and they are issuing citations for things instead of making low-level arrests, if they even bother with it at all
yeah,
at this point.
You also don't want to crowd the jails and spread it even more.
Yeah, like right now is the time. And apparently, guess what?
What?
Did you know that Joe Exotic did not have COVID?
What?
He was just in an area with someone who had COVID, and they thought he might have it, but apparently he doesn't. The police do say that they understand drugs are still obviously being sold. They're yes. not like, wow, our crime is forever gone.
There is no more heroin.
No more drugs. But they say that they believe a lot of it is just being moved online because a lot of the people they arrest, their livelihoods depend on the drugs that they sell.
Yeah.
So they're going to try and sell it as the only way that they can, basically. And if they have to do it online, they can. And they will.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that being said, law enforcement is extremely worried about the increase in unreported domestic violence, which is my next thing.
Okay.
So there are multiple organizations that are helping during this time, because the domestic violence rates have gone up drastically in some places, like 40 to 50% as
yeah.
well, which is terrible. But the national hotline can help you. But I found a futureswithoutviolence.org, and they have multiple links and like resources to help you. They have a whole full website that's a lot more detailed. So I would check out Futures Without Violence if you or someone you know is in a domestic violence situation. Because they're saying like for the people who are in those situations, they don't care if you stay at home. Like they're like, get out of your house if you can.
Good.
At this point.
Yeah, because like a lot of times like work or school or whatever is their
yeah.
only solace away from that
yeah.
abuse or bad situation at home.
Yeah, exactly. Which really sucks. Houston's police chief said that their city's aggravated assaults were up 10% last week alone, and half of these were domestic violence, which is just like a significantly higher proportion than normal for them. But calls to the Missouri's child abuse hotline have dropped by half as calls aren't being made because kids aren't in school anymore, because teachers are mandatory reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And without having a force of mandatory reporters, kids aren't being like, CPS is not being sent out to the correct homes and things like that.
Yeah.
Which is something like you don't think about, but you do at the same time. And then finally, I'll end. I'm sorry. The police are hopeful that they will continue to see a downward trend, but are worried that the effects of long-term self-isolation will eventually lead to higher crimes soon.
Yeah, like looting and stuff
yeah.
like that, riots. And
yeah, and Police Chief Eddie Garcia is quoted as saying, "The longer we're in lockdown, the more we're playing with fire."
Yeah.
So stop going out so we can stop staying at home and
right?
people will stop murdering their partners and things like that and fucking horrible things.
Let's hope so. All right. On to my second story. So this one is, I wouldn't say better.
Okay.
But so It's from Florida, mm-hmm. and it's an article from the Palm Beach Post written by Olivia Hitchcock, and it came out April 2nd, and the title is Jupiter Woman Missing, Husband Arrested for Murder in New Mexico. The woman's name is Gretchen Anthony, and she's 51 years old. She was last seen March 20th in her home on Sunshine Drive in the Mallory Creek community of Jupiter, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And her estranged husband, 43-year-old David Anthony, was the last person to hear from her. Gretchen and David were married in March of 2015 in Nevada. And on February 28th, I'm assuming of this year, it didn't say the date. They submitted a divorce petition that they had both signed in mid-January. So their divorce case still remains open.
Okay.
David Anthony was arrested by Rivera Beach police in the early hours of March 15th. So a couple days before she went missing.
Yeah.
After someone reported him suspiciously approaching young girls near the beach on Singer Island the night before.
Jeez Louise. Also, why was the beach still open?
I don't know. Officers said that he appeared to be extremely nervous, and then he resisted arrest.
Oh, cool.
One officer pointed his gun at him while the other one tried to handcuff him, and David jumped into his car and slammed the door on the officer's arm.
Cool.
So they were able to arrest him, and he was arrested on charges of violently resisting arrest. And then, 3 days later, on March 18th, he posted a $3,000 bond to be released from the Palm Beach County Jail. But the terms of his release stated that he wasn't allowed to leave the county. 2 days later was the last time he reportedly heard from his wife. Jupiter police began investigating the disappearance of Gretchen Anthony on March 26th. And the kind of weird thing, like, there's not a lot about this case.
Right.
Because the police didn't release any information about her disappearance or who reported her missing.
Interesting.
5 days later, after they had started investigating it.
Yeah.
Her husband, David, was arrested on March 31st in La Cruces, New Mexico.
Okay.
Which is about 1,900 miles away from Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah.
And they didn't say why he was there, if he fled, right. How they found him. And the police announced his arrest Thursday, April 2nd through a Facebook post. And they also said that it took them longer than they wanted to because at the very end of March,
yeah,
Jupiter was hacked. And so they lost, like, all of their public records and stuff and had to get them back.
Okay.
So David Anthony will be extradited back to Palm Beach County. And the police say that they have evidence that proves that David killed her.
Oh, okay.
Even though that her body has not been found.
Yeah.
Investigators continue to look for Gretchen's body. And they said that either a black 2016 Nissan Frontier or a dark blue Mini Cooper Clubman may have been involved. And then they said, anyone with information about this case or have information about the cars is urged to call the Jupiter Police Department.
Okay.
But I just thought it was so weird because there's, like, not very much about this case.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a missing woman. Like, there wasn't much about her disappearance. And, like, people weren't creating flyers and, like, creating these mass searches to go out and find her. So it's kind of a weird thing.
It's kind of also like a weird time because we've been social distancing this whole month. So they probably couldn't organize mass searches with like volunteers and stuff. And I don't think they do that for random missing people unless you put up a stink.
Yeah. That's
true. Especially like adult women like in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we'll just get more information after, like, we have a trial.
Exactly.
Because that's usually when we'll get the most info, you know?
Yeah. It just seemed kind of weird because I expected a little more. Yeah. You know?
Well, hopefully we know more soon, but that is weird. Okay. Let's get down to my last story here. ladies and gents. I'm in a weird mood. I apologize. And this one comes from the most reputable source, BuzzFeedNews.com.
Yeah.
And this was published on April 7th, 2020. And the article was written by Tasneem Nasrullah. A mayor cracked down on parties during the coronavirus lockdown, and his wife defied him.
Yes, I love this.
During the week of March 30th through April 3rd, Illinois' mayor... Why am I stuck on Illinois this week? Like
Illinois.
Illinois Mayor Brant Walker chided his residents for not staying at home to help flatten the curve. He said, "These are very serious times, and I'm begging you to please stay at home. And parents, please keep your kids at home. Doing so is vital to our health. We will do whatever it takes to decrease the spread of this deadly virus." So, he then directed the city's police to more strictly enforce the order by issuing citations or arresting those in violation to the orders. The next evening, the Alton Police Department cracked down on a social gathering at a local tavern. Within those rounded up was the mayor's wife, Shannon Walker. The mayor apologized to his residents, saying he was embarrassed by the incident and that his wife had shown, quote, a stunning lack of judgment. In a statement made to the public, he said the police contacted him, saying that his wife had just been picked up at the event, and he told them to, quote, treat her as they would any citizen violating the stay-at-home order and to ensure that she received no special treatment.
Wow,
that this guy is like, so fucking petty. I love it.
That'd be my boyfriend if I got arrested for that.
He goes on to assure the public that his wife would face the same consequences, and each individual who is at the tavern will be summoned to court at a later date. And the Class A misdemeanor charge is punishable by up to 364 days in jail. Wow. Or a fine of $2,500. So.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's just like.
I just thought it was like, this mayor is so petty. He's like, bitch, you didn't amazing. Follow my orders. And now you going to jail, or you paying that fine out of your own money.
It's amazing.
It's just so ridiculous. But we. There's a lot of really sad true crime stories surrounding COVID right now, and we didn't want to get too into those.
Yeah, there is one story that I feel like has to be an honorable mention, okay. But we did not do, and it is the fact that the case from Tiger King is being reopened by the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. I think it's hilarious, and I haven't listened to it yet, but... The podcast I really like, Morbid, did an episode that released today about, it's called Where is Don Lewis? And they actually go in and do as much research as possible.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that'll probably be cool. Haven't listened to it yet.
There's a full podcast about Tiger King as well by Wondery, I think.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I have not watched the 8th episode yet.
It was very uncomfortable.
It's with Joel McHale, right?
Yeah, he's the host and just like constantly asks the people with missing limbs about their missing limbs. Like, he makes jokes about it, and then he asks each of them like 3 or 4 questions about their missing limbs, and I'm just like, can we fucking talk about Joe Exotic instead of their missing limbs? And then they, like, went on to try and not misgender the person Seth, who got their arm ripped off and, like, introduced him as he and used the name Saf. And then when their name flashes across the screen, it's their female name in quotation Saf and then their last name. And I was like, close but no cigar, Netflix. Like, it was just... It felt weird. It was clearly done on a Zoom call. It was just, it was interesting, but it was still like funny.
Yeah.
So, it's worth a watch because it's like 45 minutes. So it's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
But we hope that you guys liked this week's mini episode. If you have any stories that are like happening in your town, email them to us, because there's only so much research we can do to try and find stories in all of these different towns that are happening right
yeah.
now. So if you have one, send it to our email at crimebinge@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on iTunes. Check out all of our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
And keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.